Thank you for playing this Felicia. Thank you for singing. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer now before we get into our Bible study.
Thank you for tonight. Thank you for allowing us to gather your house. I just pray that you would be with my words tonight, that you would help me to communicate your word clearly, and that we would be able to just learn something about you, that we would learn something about ourselves as well, and the sin that has corrupted our hearts, that is in us, that we are prone to, we were prone to obeying, that we are bent towards still. But Father, we know that you have, we have you in us, and that we can resist that sin, that pull of sin through you, and that you free us from that. So I just pray that we would still just dive into your word and read what you've given us, that we can learn those things that we ought to avoid and that we should be putting off in our Christian walk, and then on the other side of the coin, what we should be putting on as well, and that you just help us to be better Christians, better examples of you until you return. I ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. All right. I hope everyone can hear me all right. I have a short Bible study for us tonight. It's nothing too deep, nothing too long, but I just found this very interesting and very, thought-provoking in my Bible study. I read about this certain man that I'm going to be speaking about tonight, and he was very intriguing to me because you read the Bible multiple times, and each time you go through, you find something new, and that's the whole point, that we try to read the Bible multiple times all the way through. I think we all have our favorite passages and our favorite texts in the Bible. I know I have a favorite book personally, but it's important for us to go through and really understand what we're reading rather than just reading it just to say that we've read it. And so I was reading it, 2 Samuel. I happened to be on my trip that I had, and when I visited Saul and William, it was very interesting because we were reading in that section, we were reading 2 Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. So I got to hear even more about it and read even more into it. But of course, this is a Bible study I did 2-3 weeks ago now that I had ready from before. So it's just a funny coincidence. But anyways, all that to say that I came across this certain man in the Bible who teaches us an important lesson. And it's funny enough, I hadn't heard of him before. Maybe some of you had. I'll ask you all if you have, but I didn't know who this man was. And there were certain things in his life, or I think I'd heard of him, but I didn't connect or really understand who this guy was. And again, he teaches us a very important lesson. So today, I have two titles almost for our Bible study tonight. It's the danger of bitterness, but I would say that that's kind of more of the theme of the Bible study more than the title. The title is, who is Ahithophel? Have any of you heard the name Ahithophel before in the Bible? Yes, some of you have. Ahithophel is somebody that I honestly just kind of read over in all my readings of the Bible. Didn't click to me who he was. But Ahithophel was somebody who portrayed bitterness, somebody who let bitterness take over his life and just let it drive the way that he did things. But interestingly enough, that's not how he started. So we're going to read into that today. If you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel 16, chapter 16, verse 23, we're just going to go ahead and read this verse. We're going to be going kind of back and forth between chapter 15, 16, 17, but I just want to go ahead and start. And this verse is going to describe to us who Ahithophel is. It says in verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." And so we're going to see what it means here when it says both with David and with Absalom. But I want to take note here that it says that that his counsel or his guidance, his advice was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Now, that's pretty high praise. He wasn't just some pretty smart guy. He was someone who is described as being he was the man. He was the guy that you go to for counsel and for honestly godly advice. He was David's advisor. He was respected and godly. This is how we started off, and this is how we are. He's described in the Bible. When he spoke, people listened. He had the ear of King David himself. And as we know, King David was often described as a man after God's own heart. So being the advisor to that man is quite a, I guess you could say high praise or a good title or a good position to have, you know, a pretty high position. So he was the kind of person you'd want praying for you, honestly. If he was alive today, he'd be the kind of person you want mentoring you and giving you advice, giving you counsel. But now I want to go back, and this is in the middle of something else going on. So we have to kind of go back and understand where Ahithophel is at the time of this verse. So I want to go ahead and read 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now we're kind of going back and forth here, but let's go ahead and 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's go to verse 12, I believe. So at this time, Absalom is rebelling against David. He himself is angry at David, which I think is a whole other example and picture of bitterness in and of itself. But I'm not going to be going into Absalom's whole deal. But basically, most of you already know the reason why Absalom is upset here is after the sin that Amnon committed against his sister, well, both their sisters, or both their sister, and he is angry at his father for not doing anything about it, or at least in the way that he saw it. David wasn't doing a thing about it, and he was upset about it. So he took it into his own hands and killed his brother, or had his brother killed, and then he fled. And then David effectively ignored him for 2 years as Absalom was gone. And that made him even more bitter. That made Absalom even more resentful of his father. And of course, David mourned for his son, but to Absalom, he was just gone. He didn't know any of that. So when he came back, he was angry, and he wanted to get revenge from his father. So then we see in chapter 15, verse 12 of 2 Samuel, and Absalom, well, first let's go ahead and read verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they were in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. Verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So he calls for Ahithophel, the counselor of David. And he knows that, okay, so this guy, I remember this guy, he was a pretty smart guy. He was a pretty wise man. He's the counselor of David. And he calls for him, and he comes to him. He summons this guy. So when Absalom, David's son, rebelled against his father, guess who joined? It was Ahithophel, David's friend, trusted advisor. He turned against David. He betrayed David. And that kind of makes you ask, like, what on earth could make this man of God or this man of great wisdom turn on David? What made it that he just went with Absalom? And I mean, you don't really see here that he was like, oh, I had to convince this guy. I had to, you know, get this guy on my side. He just kind of called for this man, Ahithophel, and he came. And so, yeah, that makes us wonder what is it that Ahithophel hated so much about David? Why was he bitter? Now I'm going to go ahead and read 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. This is right after what I just read. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Basically, you know, there's a bunch of people that are with Absalom. They're against you. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So David finds out that Absalom is conspiring against him. He's kind of creating this army. He's getting people together against David. And then I want to go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel 15:32. I want to introduce to us a man, a character by the name of Hushai. And Hushai is kind of important to this. You're going to see why in a bit. And it came to pass, sorry, this is verse 32 of 2 Samuel 15, verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Basically what David is saying here, all right, this is what I want you to do for me. Go to Absalom, tell him that you're going to be his servant, or in other words, you know, you're going to serve him, you're going to be with him, be on his side. And this is how, because he knows that Ahithophel, his trusted advisor, is with Absalom. So I want you, Hushai, to go and basically counter the advice, the counsel of Ahithophel. And this is what you're going to do for me. In verse 35, And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came to the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So he said, and you got some buddies there with you that will transmit these, what you hear, to me. So that's the plan that they have. He tells Hushai to go and basically be a spy in Absalom's region there, his encampment. So then I want to go ahead and turn then to, I know we're reading a lot, but this is kind of telling us what's going on here. What's the deal? Second Samuel, I guess I just read that one. So he does that. Hushai goes, and in 2 Samuel chapter 16, if you'll turn to verse 6, chapter 16, verse 16. Let's go ahead. I always forget. There's a verse before. Let's do verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and of course Ahithophel with him. In verse 16, and it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, Is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? Speaking of David. And Hushai said unto Absalom, Nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. Basically saying, well, yeah, I served King David, but should I not also serve his son? You know, like, yeah, I'm with you. I'm here to serve you. And so, Absalom, accepts that. And so there he has kind of these two counselors. We don't actually know if he had more than that, but these are the two that were, or, well, he had one actual advisor, which was Ahithophel, but the spy, Hushai, with him. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, Give counsel among you what we shall do. Now we're going to see what Ahithophel is saying into Absalom's ear here. So tell me what we should do, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go into thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, this is the verse we read before, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel. So this is strong, strong stuff. He was somebody to be listened to. And so we see that Ahithophel tells Absalom to do this pretty insane thing, this pretty horrendous thing, which is, of course, a very sinful thing to do. And it was an abomination. And so he tells Absalom to publicly sleep with David's concubines, which was a direct act of shame and revenge against David. Then in 2 Samuel 17, 1 through 4, right after this crazy thing he told him to do. Do this thing that's in front of so that everyone can see. Do it on top of this house. And then after this crazy thing, he advises Absalom to immediately attack David. Let's go ahead and read it. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Also, sorry, I realized as I was reading before that I'm reading King James, so I'm sorry to all those who are reading another version and confused. But moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men And I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and the elders of Israel. So right after this thing, he says, now let's attack David. Let's get 12,000 men and go kill David. With Ahithophel personally leading the charge. This wasn't a strategic political move. This was something that was personal. Which we're gonna find out how what he said before to do, which they did, was personal as well. But then right after that, this is very, he says, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna kill David, but only David. The rest will take. But I want to go kill David. He didn't just want to dethrone David, overthrow David. He wanted to actually kill him. It's personal. He wants him dead. And so we see Ahithophel's bitterness for whatever reason. For those of you who already know who Ahithophel is, you already know. But for the sake of this, of the way I lay this out, we're just going to keep wondering who he is. I'm going to answer who this man is at the end. But he's very bitter. He's when you're bitter, you don't do things that are always logical. A lot of times in war, when you made a move against your opponent, you would usually give a little bit of time in between your second attack. You know, you would the way things are usually done. But he's just saying, let's do this thing, and then now let's go attack him again. He's persistent in what he's doing here. So in 2 Samuel now, verses 17, 5 to 16, we're just continuing on. Then said Absalom, so after he's Ahithophel recommended, you know, let's go get David. And it said it pleased Absalom, so he thought, okay, this is a good idea. But then, for whatever reason, Absalom says, all right, call now Hushai. Hushai comes back here. Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. I want to hear what my other advisor says about this. And so when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. In other words, what do you think of this thing? And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place, and it will become to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea from multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So then we shall come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. So basically, Hushai is saying, nah, let's not attack him right now. Let's, cause you know, this, I mean, this is David we're talking about. You know your dad, right? He's a strong, valiant man, and he has, his followers are strong, valiant men. And if we did this now, it just wouldn't work out. It wouldn't end well. How about we wait instead? And so, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So, I mean, this is Ahithophel we're talking about, right? Super smart guy, super wise. Obviously, we saw before that it said as if the counsel of Ahithophel was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. I mean, this is a top-tier counselor. And Hushai, as far as we can tell, we know is a friend of David, but wasn't, I mean, he wasn't sold as some super wise man. So it's interesting that we see that his advice was still listened to, because that's what God wanted to have it. He intended for Hushai, well, ultimately David, to not be overthrown in this manner. So he allowed Absalom to believe that Hushai's counsel was better. So he said, yeah, that's actually a better idea than what Ahithophel told me. Ahithophel, you don't know what you're talking about. And so then Hushai said unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel. So basically, so this is what Ahithophel said. And then thus and thus have I counseled. So, and then this is what I said to him. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains or the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. So through Hushai's counsel and through what he heard, he tells Zadok and Abiathar, and then they tell David. And that way David is able to escape from Absalom's plans. And so we see that Absalom follows Hushai. And we see then later on how this makes Ahithophel feel. Before any of the real things go down, like before David and Absalom even have a conflict or anything like that, or before like anything happens, just because Ahithophel wasn't listened to, basically. In verse 23 of 17, it says, and when Ahithophel saw this counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, his donkey, and arose and got him to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. This is one of the saddest verses in scripture. Ahithophel, the man whose wisdom once rejected the voice, reflected the voice of God, ends his own life alone, bitter, and broken, because his bitterness consumed him till it destroyed him. He was so bitter, he was so intent on getting his revenge, that when one thing that he said was not followed, he was like, you know what? All right, that's it. I'm done. I thought I was your advisor, I thought I was your counselor. You can imagine him thinking, this isn't in the Bible, but you can just picture in your mind, he was saying like, come on, everything I was doing was such a good plan, and now you're not following my plan. You know what? This isn't going how I wanted. And he had hung himself, committed suicide. Now, here's the part that most people miss. Why was Ahithophel so bitter toward David? What on earth made him so angry toward the king? So I want to look a little deeper. I want to turn to 2 Samuel now, way ahead, a little bit ahead. 2 Samuel chapter 23. It says here that these are David's last words. And we are given a list of David's, what is referred to as David's mighty men. So this is at the end of 2 Samuel here. And there's a bunch of names here. Some of them can't even pronounce. But we have Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahahite. We have, like I said, there's a bunch. But I want to go ahead and look at verse 34, which is actually near the end of the list. Verse 34 says, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai, the son of the Maacathite. And then it says, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So we don't see the name Ahithophel very much, only a few times. And here is one of those times that we see it. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Now, it's not saying that Ahithophel himself was one of David's mighty men, but rather the father of Eliam. Eliam was one of the mighty men. And funny enough, we do see the name Eliam somewhere else in this same book, actually. So we know who Eliam was. If you go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is a very well-known part of scriptures. It's speaking about the sin that David committed with Bathsheba. If we start in verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman is very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And of course, verse 4, and David sent messengers, took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. Of course, we know how that ended, and then the punishment that David, anyways, and the whole way that turned out. But so we see here that this is the a reference or the name referred to Eliam. So we see that Eliam was the son of Ahithophel, and the daughter of Eliam was Bathsheba. So we see that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And so now we're kind of putting things together. Now we're kind of seeing, oh, hold on a second here. So now we see why this man, Ahithophel, was so bitter. He was so angry at David. When David sinned against Bathsheba, he didn't just sin against Bathsheba and his and her husband Uriah by murdering him. But he really broke the family of this man, Ahithophel. He was her grandfather. And Ahithophel, instead of forgiving, carried that wound quietly for years. Instead of letting it go, it would have been right for someone to be angry at that. It was a sin, to be angry at the sin that David committed. But there's a fine line between righteous anger and the anger that we often feel. But it's clear to us by his actions that the anger that he felt wasn't just an anger against the sin. It was an anger against this person, and that he let it fester in his heart. And that's what led to Ahithophel doing all these things against David and letting it take control of his life. And when he saw the opportunity come, he saw a chance for revenge. And bitterness turned this wise man into a betrayer. And in the end, it didn't even destroy David. I mean, David had his own share of faults and falls. But in the end, I mean, this ordeal that Ahithophel tried to put together didn't even destroy David. What it did was it destroyed himself. And he's the one who ended up dying and paying for it ultimately. And one thing that I find interesting is that, of course, Ahithophel being the grandfather of Bathsheba, in the end, he's the one who died. And it's interesting that Bathsheba, of course, later on gave birth to Solomon. And Solomon being one of the wisest men to ever live on the earth. And he could have, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, obviously we don't know, and this isn't something that we see in God's word, but this is just something I try to imagine in my mind sometimes when I'm reading through these things, that like his great grandson would have been the wisest man on earth, you know, taken after his, you know, his grandfather, someone who was wise, a wise counselor. And I just find that very interesting. But he never got to know about that. He hung himself, and he ended his own life. So we have to ask ourselves sometimes that, who is our David? Who is that person or something, someone who hurts you so deeply that you still think about it? Bitterness always feels justified, especially when you've truly been wronged. But holding on to it doesn't punish the other person, as we saw. It poisons your heart, poisons your own soul. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, if Ahithophel had forgiven, then his story could have been one of redemption and restoration instead of ultimate ruin. He lost everything that he was, not only his life, but I mean, again, he was a man of high status, and he threw that away. So we see here that bitterness blinds you to the future that God has for you. The things that God can instate you in, you tear those things down by letting bitterness take hold of your life. So really, bitterness just closes off that door, but forgiveness frees you to walk in it, in what God's plan is. So I just want to, I guess, challenge us tonight. Challenge us tonight to think about if there's anyone in our lives that we need to forgive, or a certain event in our lives, or maybe even just a situation. Maybe it's not even a physical person here that you know. It might be even be God, bitter against God for something that he's done or not doing. And I know I've had to challenge myself and think about those things, and see that sometimes I'm not. It sounds foolish to say, and I think that's why it's good to say it out loud sometimes, but not forgiving of God, which is quite dumb to say, but not, you know, not content with where I am. And you can grow bitter against God. But whether it's against God or a person or a situation that you're in, there is a way, but is there just someone you need to forgive? Is there something that you need to set aside? Is there a place where you can set aside your pride to understand that God's the one who's in control, and ultimately it's not you who can take take charge in how you fix your bitterness. Bitterness is, I forget the exact wording, but it was once described to me as bitterness is justice, or what's the word? I guess what's the word for, I guess like closure, but unclosured. I don't know. I can't think of the word right now. Sorry for my, not the right word, but unclosured justice, basically. Like it's the justice hasn't come and you feel like it's your place to take care of it. And that's usually what bitterness is described as. So, yeah, just want to encourage you, in that tonight. It has been certainly, something that was interesting to me to see that. I mean, his son, even Ahithophel, his son was a mighty man of David, you know? So, his son was a mighty man of David. I mean, his daughter, it was unfortunate and wrong the way it came about was the wife of David. And then, like I said before, his grandson was one of the wisest men on the face of the earth. There was a lot of things where this man could have seen a lot of like good things, but he chose to only see his bitterness, blind him. So anyhow, I want to go ahead and close in a word of prayer now. If you'll bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we, thank you for, your word that we can study and once again, take application to our own life. We can see how, we can see the mistakes that people made in their lives. And I just pray that instead of judging them or telling ourselves how we are not the same or how we could not be the same, that we would take the time to reflect on our lives and see where we may be doing the same thing, maybe in a different way, maybe with a different person, maybe even to you. And that we would just seek to remedy that, to fix that. So Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for making it clear to us. Father, I now I just pray that you be with us the rest of this night as we go into prayer requests, and just bless us tonight. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen.